The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
It is the Starting Lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you. Hour number three, the Starting Lineup. And we are celebrating today, it is the king himself. It is Richard Petty's 83rd birthday today. Happy birthday to the king. The number 43 STP is still iconic, and it's kind of cool that everything going on with Bubba Wallace, that he's driving that number 43. That's kind of cool that it's getting so much attention, and what's going on with Bubba Wallace isn't that iconic car. But what we were texting Kaner about last night was, okay, Richard Petty, the king of NASCAR. Who is the king if you look at Richard Petty and you had to cookie cutter this and say, okay, if I'm creating a king for the other sports, or if you want to say, like, if we're saying the queen, like Serena's the queen of women's tennis.
Yeah.
If we're saying the queen of women's basketball, they're going to say it's Diana Taurasi, aren't they? That's going to drive me nuts. Anyway, but if we're talking about the kings of the different sports, who are those people who are kings of the different sports leagues, the way that Richard Petty is of NASCAR? And we'll, Eric Kane, we'll start with the National Football League. In your opinion, who is the king of the NFL, Richard Petty style?
Yeah, a lot of this I'm taking kind of from a present-day perspective, and without a doubt for me it would be Tom Brady. Tom Brady, 6 Super Bowl championships, multiple MVPs, and the longevity of what he's doing and still playing at, I've been on the record, on this show, I've said Father Time's catching up to Tom Brady. You just look at his stats, and I know the supporting cast around him, but you look at his stats, compare him to years past, you know, last year wasn't all that great, but what he's doing, you know, in his low to mid-40s right now is absolutely incredible. He was in the Super Bowl just 2 years ago. He is going to be in great position to reach the Super Bowl again this year in Tampa Bay. And so, you know, Tom Brady, for everything he's accomplished, the longevity, how he works, the leader that he is. Absolutely, I think that Tom Brady would kind of fall into that realm of king of the NFL right now.
Yeah. So this is something you could kind of make your own. So you've looked at it more. You're looking at it more, I guess, in modern day.
Yeah.
I look at it as still historic, okay. I guess, because Richard Petty, for most of my life, like when I was really young, Richard Petty would still win a race here or there, but he was not the top driver, or frankly, even the top five drivers that run NASCAR, even when I was really young. And then after that, it got to the point where he was just kind of like, he's out. It was like Jerry Rice when he's with the Seahawks or something. Like, he's out there. Could he do something cool? Yes. But it probably isn't likely that that's going to happen. And then he was out there after a while just getting laps and enjoying it, and sports betting better because Richard Petty's in it. And so I didn't see Richard Petty win a ton, but I know what he meant to the sport. And I think that, and I would also say it's Tom Brady when you look at longevity. Part of it, too, is it's weird that the old school in football, we don't know their personality that well, and they don't stick with the game to try to grow the sport of football, because you don't have to go grow the sport of football. I don't think the NFL wants that necessarily. It is kind of in the NFL, it's the name on the front of the jersey more than the name on the back of the jersey, in the NFL probably more than in any other league that we have right now. So, like, if you look at a guy who's stuck around the sport for years, like Terry Bradshaw could be that dude. But Terry Bradshaw, he's got multiple Super Bowl rings. The stats aren't incredible when you kind of compare them even to 10 years later into what guys were doing in the 80s. And also with Terry, he's kind of a knucklehead a little bit. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just, he's kind of silly. He's not like with Richard Petty, there's a respect when he walks in. Doesn't mean he can't have a good time, but there's just this air of respect that you have around Richard Petty. And so with Brady, it's got to the point where he's won so much that even if you don't like Brady, which I don't like Brady, even if you don't like Brady, there's a respect that you have for Tom Brady. And he's won so many rings. He's been around it so long. He's been playing for so long. I think Tom Brady actually is the king when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect bridge to, well, we can get to the other sports in a second, but that kind of bridge to the college football game and to where you think of, you know, for me, kind of the modern era here recently, you might not like him. You might hate the team he plays for, but at some point you've got to respect the heck out of the individual and respect the heck out of the player that he is. And for me, that was Tim Tebow. I mean, you know, growing up, and I was in high school, of course, I went to many Tennessee football games. Tim Tebow was a quarterback of the Florida Gators. And so you obviously had the kind of that distaste in your mouth already. But I mean, it got to a point to when, you know, I think it was his junior, senior year. It's like, okay, I mean, I don't hate this guy. I just respect him. And I wish he was my quarterback. And because he's a Heisman Trophy winner, he's a national champion. The leader, that the speech after that Ole Miss loss, and when, you know, he said they'll never guarantee they won't lose another game that season, and they didn't. Everything that comes with it, you know, Tim Tebow kind of has that same Tom Brady mantra of, you know, the college realm of, you might not like him, but you're going to respect him for sure.
It probably, if I'm looking at college football, maybe it is Tebow. I will say there were two other guys that were probably as big of cultural icons as Tebow that in my lifetime, and that was when I was really, really, really little, Herschel. And the other guy was Bo Jackson. Bo, a lot of it's because he wouldn't, you know, didn't go play in the NFL right away. Went and played baseball. He was so good at being able to do both, and just maybe the best pure athlete we've ever seen. And also back in the day, you didn't throw the ball a ton, you ran the ball a ton, and so the running back was the guy that was going to be the big star on the teams. For what's tough with college football is the best players don't make it as coaches and don't make it as administrators. Usually they go to the NFL. So what you're looking at is who are the players who then went to the media and make a difference. I probably would say, and you're looking for somebody who, as far as the criteria, like Peyton would be that guy that would be the king for the way that he came back the senior year when he would have been the number one overall draft pick that after his junior season as well, but he came back. But it's tough to pick a guy that doesn't have a ring. And I know Peyton does in Super Bowl, but he does not have a national championship ring. Tennessee won it the year after. So I think he probably is Tebow when you look at college football, as much as I don't want to say that, because Tebow didn't really have options that much in the NFL. But he hasn't been in coaching, but he stuck around the game through the media. And so because of that, I think that is probably the one guy that you look at, because he does a good job when he's with the media. I actually think he's better in the booth than he is being an analyst, but maybe he doesn't want to do the travel that's involved in having to go game to game, week to week. Instead, he just has to travel to one place in SEC country and kind of make it happen from there, especially while he's trying to continue the baseball career. To the Major League Baseball, we'll go there next. Who is the king of Major League Baseball, in your opinion?
Ken Griffey Jr. is kind of one of the names that jumps out immediately for me because of the way that he played the game, his popularity. Everyone loved him. He was not a steroid user. And now his career, later on in his career, was kind of derailed by injuries. But kind of Ken Griffey Jr., a five-tool player, can do it all. He kind of comes to mind a little bit. But when you kind of make the comparisons of Richard Petty, great at what he did, Hall of Famer, now an owner. Derek Jeter's kind of the same way. Derek Jeter is a Hall of Fame player. He was the most popular player in the game on the most popular team in all of baseball, and now he owns the Marlins and is doing just a horrific job. But that's beside the point. But Derek Jeter kind of falls into those parallels. So those are the two names that kind of popped out to me.
Yeah, so I'll go with Hank Aaron, that is still the king, because that's before my time as well. But Hank Aaron still casts a shadow over the entire sport. And one of the things that disgusts people most about Major League Baseball with the steroid era is that Hank Aaron's home run record was broken. So I'll say that the king of baseball is Hank Aaron, because when Hank Aaron walks in the room, everybody probably gets quiet and be like, holy. And if you and I were sitting in a room somewhere, Kaner, Hank Aaron walked in, and I'd be like, holy crap, that's Hank Aaron, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way, and I look at it that way. Like, honestly, I've been in a room when Tebow's there. You don't just say in hushed tones, oh my gosh, it's Tim Tebow. Like, you don't do that. So, nobody did that. But when you talk about, you might Tom Brady. You definitely, I think, do Hank Aaron. I don't know that I would if it's Ken Griffey Jr. I'd be like, that's so rad, Ken Griffey Jr. And I'd probably harass him about things he didn't want to, and want to talk to him about his old baseball game that I used to play back in the day. So I'd go with Hank Aaron for that. For people who would say it's Babe Ruth, that's fair, because there were people still until Mariano Rivera that, because Babe Ruth was not a unanimous selection to the Hall of Fame, they would never let anyone else be a unanimous selection to the Hall of Fame, even though we know that there was no one that thought that they weren't a Hall of Famer. So people who wanted to say Babe Ruth, I get that, because it is still a name that even I know 100 years later, and Avery knows it. It's 100 years later, and she didn't care about sports. So that Babe Ruth would be the other guy that I would look at and say, okay, that's totally fair if you want to bring him up. Hank Aaron is the one that I would go with there. The National Basketball Association, what do you have?
All right, so this should be easy, right? I mean, for the first half of his career, television ad, radio spots, Sports Center, fans, he was King James. He was King James, but I have not heard LeBron James be referred to as King James in probably 4 or 5 years. So would LeBron James still be the king of the NBA? For my answer right now, absolutely still, yes. He's towards the end of his prime for sure. how much good basketball left does he have? He's still playing good basketball right now. He is. And when you, I mean, if someone were to ask who's the face of the NBA, it's still LeBron James without a doubt. So right now, I think LeBron James might be the easiest answer because, again, he was known as King James for so long.
Yeah, for me, it's Michael Jordan. It's if you look at it, Jordan brand is still the brand that most players want to have a shoe deal with right now. If you look at it from an ownership perspective, he's stuck around the game in an ownership perspective. He doesn't talk a ton. Richard Petty doesn't talk a ton. But he's still involved in the game and in trying to grow the sport. Both of their, like, you know, RPMs in Welcome, North Carolina. Michael Jordan's in Charlotte, North Carolina. So because of the North Carolina tie and the, you know, owning a team in North Carolina still, and because just how many titles did he won, and no one's ever going to catch that probably, I'll say that Michael, even in an era where guys don't play college basketball anymore and there's player empowerment where you can form super teams, nobody's going to catch Michael in my lifetime. It isn't going to happen. So because of that, I'm going to go with Michael Jordan. As the guy who was the king of the NBA. College basketball, is there somebody that you would point to? I think that's the toughest one for me, because if you want to talk about the guy who was the biggest deal when he was playing it in my lifetime, it's been Christian Laettner. But I can't say that Christian Laettner's the king because everybody hated Christian Laettner. So, and honestly, Richard Petty always did it the right way. There was a level of class that Richard Petty had. Laettner was the exact opposite of that, right? Laettner was a bully. Laettner was a guy that was trying to get in your head. Laettner was a guy that you wanted to root against a little bit. So, for me, college basketball is the toughest one for me because I can't think of anybody that necessarily fits the bill for college basketball. And also, in the last 20 years, most players don't spend that much time in college.
Yeah, it's tough because, again, it's the one-and-done era. It's the, if you're not one and done, you're only going to stay for that sophomore year because that clock is ticking. You want to go make that money in the National Basketball Association. I get all that. And the best teams have adopted the one and done mentality. I mean, it's everywhere now. Don't get me wrong. It used to only be a handful of teams. I mean, Duke only adopted the one and done mentality, you know, dating back to 2015. Prior to that, they were still kind of running that 4-year system, whereas Carolina and Memphis and Kentucky were, you know, doing the ones and done. So it's difficult.
Is Kareem that guy? Because when Kareem writes, like, editorials just about social and political issues.
Yeah, he does.
That kind of crosses both aisles for Time Magazine. And he's done it, you know what I mean? Like, and Kareem would, and I'll be honest, if Kareem walked in, I'd look at you and be like, holy crap, that's Kareem. Right? Like, the dude fought Bruce Lee. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get a whole lot cooler than you won a title every single year in college basketball. Everyone says you're the greatest college basketball player of all time. You went on to the NBA, and you're one of the five best NBA players of all time. And UCLA and that whole thing and everything that they, you know, the dynasty that they have that's unlike any dynasty in sports history. And then you also fought Bruce Lee in your spare time, and you were in an airplane.
Yeah. That would be a great one. I mean, but you just don't have that anymore in college basketball. So I think Kareem would certainly be the guy.
Yeah, so that one just came to me. Because otherwise, again, I just don't know, like, because the guys that were popular, like, J.J. Redick was hated more than he was loved. Jimmer Fredette never won anything. Tyler Hansbrough, I ain't trying to be a jerk, but he just wasn't that good, so comparatively. But he was a guy who busted his hump and was an easy guy to kind of root for, unless you just had a rooting interest against North Carolina. David Robinson played for the Naval Academy. I just, when I'm going through the greatest college basketball players of all time, the two guys I come up against is Pete Maravich, if you're in the South and of the South only, and then, but you have Kareem, who won how many titles, and Kareem carries that air of respect with him where you just respect everything that guy, kind of, you respect him as a man as much as you respect him as a player.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll be back on the other side. It's the Starting Lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The NFL is mulling the idea of shortening its preseason from 4 games to 2 games this upcoming season. Training camps are still set to begin July 28th, but the first week of preseason games under this model wouldn't be until August the 20th. Elsewhere around the league, former Steelers coach Bill Cowher has tested positive for coronavirus antibodies. That was back in April. The league also will not conduct a supplemental draft here in 2020. The NBA is expected to lose around $150 million for its Orlando bubble plan for the completion of the season. The costs stem from housing of all 22 teams, plus supporting staff, daily screenings, COVID-19 testing, meals, security, transportation, and the reservation of practice courts and arenas for play. And five-star point guard Brooklyn Miles, the number 46 player in the entire country, number 9 rated point guard, as committed to Kelly Harper and the Lady Vols. Miles is in the class of 2021. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. 8:19, we're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Will West, Eric Kane here with you, 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is the starting lineup. Yesterday, we talked about the three different options that were on the table for the TSSAA to try to continue high school football and girls' soccer and to get that in this fall. Now, girls' soccer seems somewhat resolved. The idea is they would just delay the season, they would push back the state championship, and the girls' soccer, it looks like at least right now, we'll get to have the entire season played. So that's good news for girls' soccer players out there in the state of Tennessee and in our listening area. For high school football, it's a little different. They laid out three different plans. They went with one of the plans and then laid out three plans about that one plan. Eric Kane, can you explain to the listening audience?
Yeah, so again, they're still trying to seek approval to where, like college teams, like professional teams here in the state of Tennessee, the TSSAA is trying to get the governor to sign off to where high school football can also start on time. That is going to be run up the ladder, and Governor Bill Lee said he's going to work on that. But for right now, you can't start, you know, contact practices until around August 30th. So that puts the season start in jeopardy. Under these three options laid out by the BOC yesterday to the Tennessee Football Coaches Association, practices in all three options would begin August 30th. Games would start on September 18th. Option one would be a 7-game regular season, where the playoffs would start on time. The big caveat here would be each program would have to scrap its schedule. The TSSAA would have to set region schedules for every school. Teams that do not make the playoffs because of only a 7-game regular season would have the opportunity to play 2 extra games after their 7-game regular season. So that'd be about 9 games total. Even the teams that miss out on the playoffs would still have a chance to play 2 more games. So that's good. Option two would be an 8-game regular season, a 16-team bracket where only the regional champs and the region runner-ups qualify for the playoffs. That's essentially cutting the first week out of the playoffs. And again, teams that didn't make the playoffs would have a chance to schedule 2 extra games. Option three would be a 9-game regular season, an 8-team playoff bracket, which only the regional champs would qualify for. And that would be cutting the first 2 weeks out of the playoffs. So you'd have 3 rounds. You'd start in the quarterfinals. You win that, you go to the semifinals, and then obviously to the state championships. The schools would be able to keep their current schedule in that option as well, and teams that don't qualify for the playoffs would have a chance to schedule an extra game. So all three options have a chance for vary from 7 games to 9-game regular seasons. All three options have a playoff format, so you can compete for a state championships, and all three options give teams that don't qualify for the playoffs a chance to schedule a game or two more in order to fill out that schedule. And I like that too, Will, because if you're a senior and your team does not make the playoffs, you're telling me the last season you ever play football, you only get 7 games? That sucks. So under all three of these, you'll have the option to pick up a game or two to kind of round out that schedule as well. I think the leader in the clubhouse right now in terms of popularity from what I've seen and from who I've talked to would be option two, 8-game, 16-team playoff where you just cut out the first week of the playoffs and you kind of narrow that field down. And I think that option right now makes the most sense.
Yeah, so hopefully it goes down that way and we get this done. I will say, man, like, either this is a public health issue or not to go out there and play football. If it's not a public health issue, okay. Like, these are kids, these are children that are out there playing high school football. The idea that I guess I'm trying to think of a way to not just start chucking grenades. It's asinine and ridiculous, and it makes me lose a lot of respect for coaches who want the TSSAA to get the same waiver from the state of Tennessee that we get for college football and pro football. It's questionable at the college level, but look, these are businesses, right? High school football is not a business. If in high school football is a business, then you got a problem, right? So it's time to reevaluate, and maybe those people don't need to be involved in high school athletics if high school is a business. If this isn't a public health issue, then let them go play football. If this is a public health issue, why are you seeking an exemption that you would give to businesses for high school football to have them go play? If the kids are at risk by playing high school football, the kids are at risk for playing high school football. If they're not, they're not. And so the idea that the TSSAA or that they're looking to the governor's office to try to get an exemption here, I'll just say this. Anybody that thinks that doesn't need to be involved in college and high school athletics because you don't value those kids' lives enough. Unless you're looking at this saying, well, it's not really a public health issue. If it's a public health issue, it's a public health issue. If it's not a public health issue, it's not a public health issue. These are kids. Like, that's what it is at the end of the day. This ain't a dang business. Like, so looking for the exemption that we're giving NFL teams and things like that is wildly psychotic to me. And I can't even fathom what the thought process when it comes to that. I'm not trying to rip anybody that's in high school athletics. I know, look, high school coaches have done so many great things for so many kids and helped kids get back on track that wouldn't have gotten on track. And kids that come from rough home lives help them to be able to be the one in their family that changes the trajectory of their lineage. So I'm not trying to just crush people in high school athletics with that. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in college athletics, and I've been through how many rounds of TSSAA realignment over 11 years of doing high school football around here. It's just nuts to me. And I would say, man, like, take a long, hard look in the mirror if you really think that you need to have the exemption for high school football if you believe it's a public health issue. Now, if you just flat don't believe it's a public health issue, that's a separate conversation that we could have at another time. But if we're looking at it saying, hey, football's a public health issue, but we need high school football, so let's get these boys out there and let's get them playing. So 15, 16-year-olds, like, give them a tug and give yourself a look in the mirror, man. That's terrible. Absolutely terrible that they would even ask that question. And here's the thing. They're probably asking the question to say, okay, to what level is it that, or what are the options that are on the table out there? Because we want these kids to have the season. But, dude, if it's a public health issue and you're looking at it as a public health issue, wow, that's wild for me to just say let's give the same exemption to 15-year-olds to go play that we would give NFL-grown men to go play. That's absolutely wild to me. It is. So hopefully, again, if this is a public health issue, hopefully the governor's office does the right thing. If it's not a public health issue, hopefully the kids get to play. And if it is a public health issue, hopefully they get to play later. And that's the way that we have to look at this, though. But goodness, it just seemed like yesterday, and I'm not in the meeting. I'm just seeing what's tweeted out by the people that are there covering the thing. But it just seemed like there were some people there that really kind of were looking at this saying, well, we need this exemption so we can get this football played like it's a business. It's high school football, and if it's a business to you, you probably need to go do something else because you're not doing those kids any good.
Right? Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. I didn't want you to be involved in that rant because that is not the. Those are just my opinions, and if you've got a problem with it, you can kick rocks. But I didn't want you involved in that so that people don't lump you in and start calling cussing you out like they did yesterday.
I was just gonna say they're gonna circle back around and meet again on July the 8th. And try to pick out the option or the plan that they will proceed forward with for the fall. So July the 8th, a week from yesterday, we should have a definite plan on what high school football will look like in East Tennessee, in the whole state of Tennessee.
That is Eric K9, I'm Will West. We'll come back with Star Bench Cut next. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is BFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
65 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
It is the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Eric Kane getting cussed out because I went off about coaches trying to get an exemption yesterday.
Surprisingly, no, not today.
Hey, look at that. That was just yesterday. Yeah. That people's mammals were cussing you out. So,
it's not my fault what's going on.
Yeah. Do you care if I tell that?
No, go ahead. I don't care.
All right. Yeah, so yesterday, Katie was getting calls from people's grandmas cussing him out because he was telling what the options were about the high school football season. And I think they thought Eric was making the decision because he was the one telling what decisions were being made. So Eric got cussed out a couple times.
Hey, but you know, it's happened before. It'll happen again. It's all good. I'm like, ma'am, but okay. All right. Have a good morning. Bye-bye.
Wild, dude.
But man.
Absolutely wild. So what happens behind the scenes when you're screening the calls, it can get emotional. We'll just say that for a whole lot of people. 656-9900 is your phone number. It's time now for Star Bitch Cut.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... Whoops. The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty, locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, Will, so I've laid the options out a couple of times this morning, and if you forgot exactly which one's which, I can help you out. I got them written down. But which option for high school football is best for 2020? Would it be option one? And I'll go ahead and just let you know. Option one, again, that is seven game season with the normal playoffs. Option two, 8-game regular season with a 16-team playoff. Or option three, a 9-game regular season with an 8-team playoff field.
Give me the option two, I think. Give me the 8-game regular season with the 16-team playoff. That still gives us four rounds in the playoffs. It gives us 8 regular season games. Is it ideal? No. Can we live with that? Yes. That to me is the easiest one to live with.
Yeah, I will start option two. I think the 8-game regular season, the 16-team bracket, is the closest to what a normal season would look like. So I will start option two. I'll bench option one, which is only a 7-game regular season, but you get a regular playoff field. And so I think that playoff, though, there are a lot of teams in there that shouldn't be in there. It's still a playoff experience, and I think that is so cool for a high school athlete if you've never experienced it before. And then I'll cut the 9-game, 8-team bracket because you only get 8 teams that can compete for a state championship. That's a little unfair. So I'll bench or I'll cut that one. All right, today is Richard Petty's 83rd birthday. Greatest NASCAR driver of all time. You got the King, Dale Earnhardt, or Jimmy Johnson?
I'm going to start the King, and I'll say the best I've ever seen is the Intimidator. But 200 races is 200 races, so I'll start the King. I'll bench Earnhardt. I'll cut Jimmy Johnson. It's not Jimmy Johnson's fault that when he won so many titles was like the worst era of NASCAR to ever have to watch with all the cookie-cutter tracks and such like that. And because he was so dominant during that era, Car Tomorrow, Cookie Cutter Tracks, that because of that, he's always going to be just lumped in with that. So because of that, I'm going to go with start Richard Petty, bench the Intimidator, cut Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, that's the correct order. Jimmy Johnson, what was that streak of what? Was it six consecutive? And so, yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. So Jimmy Johnson, one of the greats, no doubt, but he's going to be the cut in this order. Tomorrow Hamilton starts streaming on Disney Plus. Coolest founding father, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, or Benjamin Franklin?
I'm going to start Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, he was just a different dude, right? So he'd argue with anybody. He would, he was a guy that invented so many different things that were there while being a founding father. Benjamin Franklin was just awesome all around, it seems like. I'm going to bench Hamilton, because way before it was cool, Hamilton was pushing back on slavery and things like that. I will cut Jefferson. Although for Jefferson, like, he got to just go hang out in France and avoid all the tough stuff for the most part of the Revolution and things like that, and then come back after the Louisiana Purchase, take a victory lap, and go be the president, get on Mount Rushmore. But Jefferson did some good things. Hamilton was a little nuts, but I'll start Franklin, bench Hamilton, cut Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I think that's the correct order. Benjamin Franklin did a whole lot of good. I'll start him. Thomas Jefferson did some not so great things as well, so he's kind of my cut. And then I'll sandwich Hamilton there right in the middle.
Are you gonna watch Hamilton on Disney Plus?
I might get around to it on my next furlough week.
I don't know what the broadcast is going to be like, but we saw Hamilton. The girls have seen it a few times. I saw it just once. It was a touring company in Atlanta. The first act of it's the best thing I've ever seen. It's better than any TV show I've ever seen, the best movie, better than any movie I've ever seen. It's the first act's the best thing I've ever seen in person. The second act is a little bit more like a normal musical, and there's some good songs in it too, but it's like It's kind of like if Biggie Smalls and Tupac did a musical about American history. That's what Hamilton is. And it's just unreal. It's like it just keeps coming at you, exploding in your face. And that's what the first act of Hamilton does. And hopefully they're able to, this will be the original cast. Hopefully, I guess it starts streaming tomorrow. So hopefully they're able to capture that in with a television/movie feel to it. I hope you still are able to get that. And it isn't something that doesn't translate when you're not in person.
Huh, interesting. Well, I'm definitely intrigued. That is something that I'm going to have to check into. You said Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. Start streaming tomorrow. They're going to release it in theaters, and I guess we all know what's going on there. So because of that, they're releasing it on Disney Plus.
All right, so we'll check it out there. A tougher league to win a championship in this year because of COVID-19, Major League Baseball, the NHL, or the NBA?
I'm going to say that it's the NBA because of the way that you're coming back. They're going to play literally every day. That doesn't mean every team's going to play every day, but the game's going to be pretty nonstop. You might play at noon one day, midnight 2 days later. It's going to be quick turnarounds, and a lot of guys have had a lot of time off of the National Basketball Association. I do think that I'll start the NBA. I'll bench the NHL. The playoffs are... there's a larger playoff field, so it is still going to be a little more difficult. But the NHL, after what we saw last season, is all over the dang place anyway. I'm going to bench Major League Baseball. I think it's easier to win the World Series this year than it has in other years because a lot of baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And instead, what we're going to have is a sprint this season. So hopefully that helps my Dodgers out.
they've made it to the end countless times in the last couple of years. So they're good at marathons. We'll have to see how good they are at sprints. I will start the NHL because of that expanded playoff field. I think it'll be a little bit tougher. I'll bench the NBA, and I'm with you, man. I'll cut Major League Baseball. I think this will be one of the easier years to win World Series just because of the 60 games. All right, a couple more. Start bench cut these quarterbacks behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Sam Howell, Sam Ehlinger, or Ian Book?
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to start Sam Ehlinger. I'm going to bench Sam Howell. I'm going to cut Ian Book. I have watched Ian Book be bad in as many games as I've watched him be good. So he to me was the immediate I'm cutting him. Ehlinger can throw for, if you told me Ehlinger throws for 500 yards in three games next year, I'll buy that. Howell's really, really good. Let's see him take another step. But I'll start Sam Ehlinger, bench Howell, cut Ian Book.
Yeah, Ian Book is without a doubt my cut as well. I'm gonna flip your top two. I'm going to start Sam Howell. He was an absolute stud as a freshman. I think he threw 34 touchdowns, only like six, seven, eight interceptions, somewhere around there. I'd like to see that completion percentage come up just a little bit, but that's part of that step you're talking about. I think of the two quarterbacks, Sam Howell obviously can be the way better one, so I'm going to start him. I'll bench Sam Ehlinger, and I will cut Ian Book. Last one, Seinfeld co-creator Larry David turned 73 years old today. Star bench cut these Seinfeld characters, Elaine, George, Kramer.
Well, you start George, right? I'm absolutely going to start George because without George, I don't think George was Larry David. Without George, you don't have Seinfeld's not nearly as good of a show. I'm going to bench Elaine.
Really?
I'm going to cut Kramer.
Really?
I like Kramer. Yes, but I'm going to bench Elaine over Kramer because some of the Kramer storylines got a little out there and the Elaine storylines. And also with Elaine, I get Putty, and with Kramer, I get Newman. So I'm going to take Putty over Newman every time, and that was the deal breaker for me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Newman that you can go without. But I will start George. I will bench Kramer, and I'll cut Elaine. I'm very surprised. Very surprised you're cutting Kramer.
Yeah, it's the Kenny Rogers roaster and all that. That was pretty solid, I will say, with Kramer. That is Star Bench Cut, brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. Folks at Heritage Realty, they're going to give you that type of local focus that you want when it comes to making sure you find the right home for your family in the right school district with the right neighborhood for exactly where your family's going to grow. Nobody's going to do it better than Heritage Realty. We'll come back. Brian Rice joins us next. The crossover's coming up. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
At five-star point guard Brooklyn Miles, the number 46-rated player of the country, number 9 point guard, has committed to Kelly Harper and Lady Vols. Miles is part of the 2021 class. Jeremy Pruitt said there's still no football players who have tested positive for COVID-19 during the voluntary in-person workouts. Appearing on the Dan Patrick Show Wednesday morning, Pruitt said the players will have the weekend off for the 4th and will be tested on Monday when they return back to campus. Tennessee Athletics is transitioning to mobile ticketing for all ticket options across all ticketed sports in 2020-2021. Say that 10 times faster. Mobile ticketing will be available for football, volleyball, basketball, baseball, and softball. And the contactless entry option is considered healthier and could cut down on stolen or counterfeit tickets. 8:47. I'm going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Brian Rice of the Eric Kane Show comes up next on the crossover as we conclude a Thursday TSL. I'm Eric Kane.
They wouldn't blow a lead coaching in the Super Bowl. Tyler Ivins and Will West are the starting lineup. 99.1, the sports animal.
Final segment of the starting lineup, 99.1, the sports animal. Will West here with you. Eric Kane as well. Brian Rice joins us now. The EEA show with Brian Rice is coming up next. Brian Rice, can I ask you this question? And this Please. Is not sports related at all, but you've worked in the legal world in the past life, so I want to throw this out to you. Do you know what the Tennessee Code Title 68, Chapter 2, Part 6 states?
I do not.
It gives powers to local boards of health to be able to pass regulations as they see fit to protect the health of their constituents.
So yeah, there was a Supreme Court decision that enables them to do that. I was reading about that last night.
Yeah, 1905. It was about with smallpox vaccines. Because I keep seeing people say that this is unconstitutional. One, it falls within the state constitution. Two, the Supreme Court ruled in 1905, they can literally strap you, the government can, to a chair and give you a vaccination against your will if they feel like it's in the public interest.
I equated it to this. The government tells us that we have to wear pants. There's no real reason that we have to wear pants other than tradition. But the government can do it. If you walk out without pants, they're going to write you a citation. So this isn't particularly different. I mean, you can argue the minutiae of it, but I put that out last year, and nobody could explain to me exactly how pants are different than a mask. Regardless, it's the right thing to do. If the numbers are going in the wrong direction on how many people are infected with this, we have completely undone any good that we accomplished by shutting the country down for 2 months. So we've got to try to get ahead of it. If this is a simple thing, look, they're already required in most stores. They're already required. They're already going to be required on campus this fall, whether you're a student or you're a visitor. What's the drawback to wearing one? And, you know, people say, well, CO2 levels and all that. If you research actual reputable sites, those arguments don't hold water. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. I don't understand the pushback, but whatever. People are looking for something to be mad about.
Yeah, well, and people, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to thought police anybody as far as, like, if you don't want to wear the, like, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to wear the mask. I didn't wake up the day being like, I want to wear a mask when I go to the store.
No,
but
it's a pain.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. But you deal with inconveniences when you, like, I prefer to not, you know, I mean, yes, it could save my life. I don't want to have to put a seatbelt on when I drive, right? But you do it because that's the right thing to do. So it's weird to me when I see public leaders say that this is unconstitutional when it's literally not, though. So I guess I don't really want to get into the argument of whether people want to wear the mask or don't want to wear the mask or anything like that. I just the idea that the argument that it's unconstitutional is, I mean, one, it is. Two, it's literally state law gives exactly the people who are the ones that laid down this law last night the exact right to do this thing. So I'm not saying people have to like it. No one's telling anybody to do that. But what I'm saying is
seatbelts are probably a better equation than pants. But, you know, I also know I have a family member who refuses to wear a seatbelt, never has, never will. They have accepted the fact that if they're in a crash, they're going to die.
Yeah, and that they could get a ticket for it if they get pulled over, right?
Yeah, and so that's kind of the same thing. You've accepted that if you don't wear one, you're exposed to somebody who has it. There's a good chance you'll get the virus. Now, it may not kill you. It may give you a small term, whatever. You just, if you don't want to wear one, the reality of it is you can't tell people that they have to care about other people. And that's kind of where we are. You're not wearing it necessarily for you. You're wearing it that if you have it, but you don't have any symptoms, and you cough on somebody, you may give it to them. And if you're wearing a mask, you probably won't. So, but I think we have found more than anything in this country in the last 5 or 6 years that you can't make people care about each other.
Well, there's also convenience is God to a lot of people, too, right? Yeah. Like, whatever's the most convenient thing for me. There's a lot of people that can't just say, okay, I don't want to do this, but like Kaner said today. Kaner said all morning, I don't want to do this, but I'm gonna, because it's what does it hurt for me to do this, right? So I do. I have one buddy who has posted a couple times on, and Matt, shout out to you, buddy, that posted a couple times on Facebook. Like, he has a legitimate concern because he's highly asthmatic. For people that are in a situation like that, they did say, if you have an issue where maybe wearing a mask could cause you a problem medically, you are exempt from wearing this. Kids are exempt from wearing this. While you're eating and drinking at a restaurant, you're exempt from wearing this. And it does look like, from what the Board of Health said last night, while it could be a misdemeanor, the idea is law enforcement will hand you a mask if you refuse to wear a mask. They'll hand you a mask, tell you to put it on. I'm assuming where the legal enforcement would come is if situations like we saw that old guy that tried to plow through the Walmart worker because he didn't want to wear a mask, right? That guy could end up getting detained at least, have to go to court, pay his fine, and go out about his day.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. The repercussions are not there for your average person. They're there for the person who goes out of their way to do what people have done at businesses.
Yeah,
so, and it gives the businesses the right to... It makes businesses not be the bad guy, I think, is also a big part of it.
So, okay, over under this weekend, over under close of business Monday, before somebody has a physical altercation because some lunatic decides they're not going to wear the mask.
Oh, well under. It'll happen Friday.
It'll happen? Close of business Friday. Does it happen?
Under, yeah.
Always take the under. What's coming up next on the EA show?
Always take the under. Tennessee's moving to mobile tickets only. Coming up at 11:15, Jimmy Delaney from UT will join us to talk about that decision, what some of the drawbacks are, what some of the positives are for both Tennessee and fans. Talk about that. And we are drafting the best Tennessee offenses of the 2010s.
Yeah.
Fantasy draft style.
I'm going to win.
Gainer, Ainge. Whose team is going to be best at the end of the day? We'll vote on it.
Doesn't this seem like forever ago, Brian, when it really wasn't that... Like, I mean, do we even remember, like, 3 years ago? Literally every decision Tennessee made seemed to be the wrong one. And now it's like, I will almost be floored if Tennessee makes a bad decision these days.
Yeah. There's some blowback on mobile tickets, but that's why we're having Jimmy on to explain it.
Yeah, well, I mean, what else are you going to do? There's a reason why a lot of people can't give out prizes and things like that right now is don't want people to be handling things. And it's also a lot easier for you as well. Brian ICA coming up next. Eric Kane's going to join them. This is the starting lineup. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 99.1, the Sports Animal.